Thomas, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, we are back on the record. For clarification, I received two submissions. One is for the landowner of with the contiguous farmland property, talking about the impacts. Have you received those, Mr. Speckman?
Yes, and we are including these as here in Exhibit 1 and 2, the letter and the Q&A.
You've marked them as Exhibits 1 and 2?
Yeah.
Okay, that's... Okay, Exhibits 1 and Exhibit 2 will be admitted. Q&A, those are admitted into the record. Okay, any, I think somebody else wanted to testify, but was there any further testimony you'd like to provide at this time?
I'll have a chance after any further comments, correct?
Yes.
I'm happy to save it till the end.
Okay. Okay. Is it Mr. Stevenson that wanted to testify? All right. Where would you like to go? Do you, let's see. I think.
Pull up a chair.
Yeah, why don't we do that? Just pull up another chair.
Up here?
This need to be by a microphone so we can pick it up.
Okay.
All right. All right, Mr. Stevenson, do you swear or affirm that the testimony you will give in this proceeding will be true to the best of your knowledge?
I do.
Please state your name, spell your last name for the record, and provide your mailing address.
That's Brent Stevenson. Stevenson, and I'm the manager of Santiam Water Control District, mailing address 284 East Water Street, Staten, Oregon, 97383.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Yeah, I just wanted to give a little bit of a comment. We did put comments on the record from our legal representation, but listening to some of the testimony, I think just wanted to refute the assumption that there's no economic cost to the surrounding farm grounds. The district is an ORS 553 district. We serve irrigation water to 17,000 acres in the area. And also the subject landowner has contracts with the district. We enter into written recorded contracts with all of the landowners that have water rights from the district. And we are have rules and regulations for all of those members under the ORS 553 statute related to. We weren't involved very early on in the process, but attempted to give some constructive conditions that the district felt would protect the farming practices and district infrastructure related to the project. And so we feel that those are important conditions to consider as part of the record if you do not want to have economic damages to the district. We have a TMDL plan and requirements under DEQ for water quality components related to stormwater discharges into surrounding streams and water bodies. And so the district farmers and local farm community are responsible through the district to ensure that that water quality and water conditions are met. As well, the water rights on the property, the rights are held. The certificate is issued to the irrigation district, and then we contract and place those water rights on farm grounds surrounding. Being a district asset, they are appurtenant to the lands and specific to the land ownership. And so we have concerns that those water rights could be lost from forfeiture or other if they're not transferred properly. And so that needs to be through land ownership. The district can't transfer on their own. They need to have permission from the landowner. An acceptance in those application proceedings. any loss of a water right has a long-term financial impact on the district. It's the sum of all of those 17,000 acres that support the function of the district, and so those water rights are critical, and there are no more available for the North Santiam Basin. That was all.
Thomas, you'd like to respond to that?
Thank you. With respect to the water rights, you know, as Remington, as the applicant here, doesn't have water rights, doesn't control those, as I understand it, I'm not a water law expert, but I understand that those are owned by the property owner, and water law is governed by water law. What he does with them, his rights, his abilities, and I'm not privy to his relationship with the district. I'm not seeing a basis for conditions for this application under 283.1 and 275.5 to step into that relationship and try to mandate what he should or should not do with respect to that. And I think those are best left to the existing framework with respect to water law. Regarding environmental quality, we certainly understand and respect that there are environmental standards that the project would comply with respect to stormwater discharge, the extent there needs to be detention on site. You know, the site plan does provide for stormwater detention. That would all be, again, governed by a separate framework regarding environmental quality and what needs to be done pursuant to that. And I can't speak to specifically the sizing of all that. That's, of course, technical analysis that the project would comply with and would need to.
Mr. Stevenson, can you tell me a little, and maybe it's in your submission that I haven't read yet, about how there could be loss of water rights through this process?
A water right needs to be exercised continually, and it cannot, it's subject to forfeiture if it's not used for a period of 5 years. And so the lands, any land that's developed with buildings, parking lot, paving, gravel areas that cannot be irrigated can become subject to forfeiture after the 5 year period.
No, I understand. Okay.
If I may briefly, my understanding as well that I understand that to be true, and I don't know that that has anything to do with this application per se. A farmer could stop irrigating their land and similarly lose that water right, even if they didn't build a BESS or something else. So I see that as separate and apart from this application, but as a relationship, or it would relate to the relationship between the landowner and the water control district, and I'm not privy to their agreements or what commitments may or may not be there, but to the extent that I think it would be inappropriate to condition this project on directing the landowner with what they need to do with their water right, that should be governed separately by water law or any contracts that may exist between the landowner and the water district.
If I may. Any change in the water right it is a financial impact to the farmers within the irrigation district. We are funded solely by assessments by the farmers within the district. And so while it may be a direct relationship with an individual on the property, that cost that's borne upon the district is a financial impact to the district and farmers within the boundaries of the district.
Is there any other party that wanted to be heard on the application? Favor, in opposition to, or general comments? Okay, would you like any additional?
Yeah, I'll be brief. Period? I'll be brief. I know we've been banging this drum very loudly that 283.1 and 275 controls, and we stand by that, of course. It is very clear to us under Brentmar and that framework that that's what applies. the Sprint case says the framework in 275 is to direct hearings officers for how to determine whether utility facility is necessary for public service on EFU land. To the extent that the county is trying to prohibit BESS on EFU land, they're prohibited from doing that. I wanted to respond to a couple of comments that Mr. Speckman made with regard to the nature of BESS and whether it's utility facility. I believe I heard him say that, well, to intimate that because it's privately owned, that makes it not a utility facility. The case law is replete with privately owned utility facilities. Cell towers are one, a great example. The Macaw Communications case, the legislative history I referenced. So the fact that a electric utility doesn't own the facility doesn't mean it's not a utility facility. Second has to do with the nature of BESS. I think it's hard to overstate how necessary they are for the modern grid. It's not, I think I heard reference to buy low, sell high, and I don't entirely know what that's intended to mean, but it's critical in order for renewable energy to be connected to the grid and to function for everybody. Because renewable energy is intermittent, it needs to be captured when it's there, it needs to be available to be released when it's not, and so this is a really integral part of the grid, and ownership is not relevant. And I would encourage you to review the Integrated Resource Plan, where PacifiCorp talks in detail about why it needs BESS in order to achieve the state emissions reductions targets and to provide electricity. Furnishing electricity is certainly the role of utility facility, and that's what BESS does. It furnishes electricity to the grid. Once it's connected, it's a part of the grid. And so to us, it's quite clear that BESS is utility facility. I wanted to note, too, that the county's interpretation, I think there's been some discussion about the relevance of the ordinance being the codification of this prior interpretation. My understanding is that, I mean, the county would not be entitled to deference for its interpretation of this state definition of what is utility facility. So, of course, the county gets to make its interpretation, but I think it would not be entitled to deference upon on review. And so I would encourage some caution in looking carefully at why BESS is a utility facility here. And I understand that there's staff is taking direction about the policy direction here, but I think it's a bigger issue than just the county interpretation. With that, nothing further.
Just in going back, I understand the arguments on the importance and the necessary and for the grid, but I'm hearing the county say even go smaller than that. The definition of utility facility about it doesn't work for storage. It has to be some generation of electric, and that it just doesn't fit in the right definition itself.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to be clear. There's not a statutory definition. And that's why we go into great length to pull in committee hearing reports and discussion about what is utility facility. What impressed upon me when reviewing those materials is the intent to have a 283.1 utility facility be intentionally broad. I think there's an understanding that this is going to be a catch-all because things will change over time. Power plants are a separate thing. These conditional uses, wind, solar, the generation, that's a 283.2 use, and that's conditional use permit. That's a different thing. Utility facilities are intended to be as a right because they are critical to the operation of the grid. And they can't be subjected to these additional criteria. So that's why we went to great pains to understand what was the legislature thinking, what have the courts said, what has LUBA said about what is utility facility. And admittedly, you don't see BESS anywhere because it's new. I think we're adapting to a changing energy context. Wind and solar, they're newer technologies. We're trying to figure out, as we electrify, how do we capture this power and release it to the grid, and storage is a necessary component of that. If we don't have BESS, we can't achieve these targets. We can't have the modern grid that we need. So it does take a little bit of interpretation, but to my mind, not very much. I think especially when you read that it's this catch-all bucket, utility facilities is intentionally broad, booster stations, substations, cell towers, transmission lines, battery storage. I don't find it to be a stretch.
Okay, thank you. So is there any, are we keeping the record open or this
Yeah, we'd like to keep the record open.
Okay,
thank you.
We're doing 777?
777, yeah.
Okay, is that good with everybody?
Works
with
for us.
Holiday, do we need any modification of that? Or just realizing we're close to
That's a good
holiday.
Question.
And I don't know the time frame. I haven't looked at the dates and the extensions.
Is that some, I'm inclined to say that's okay, but can we work with staff to confirm that?
Absolutely.
Okay, great. We'll take a look at calendars, make sure we don't want to propose a modification, but from where I'm sitting right now, that 777 works.
Okay.
But yeah, do you recognize the holidays are coming up?
Yeah, that's fine. Okay. Whatever you all agree on is fine with me.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right, thank you very much. Thank you.